We're joined now by Jane Williams, head of the National Sierra Club Clean Air Team. Welcome back to the show, Jane.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me again.
The last time we spoke was back in late February when the lawsuit against the Department of Defense was initially filed regarding the PFAS burning. Can you give us an update on what's going on with the litigation?
So we filed a motion for summary judgment about 3 weeks ago now, along with two expert declarations, one regarding the public health impacts of perfluorinated chemical exposure, and one on why these chemicals are really not going to, they're really not designed to burn. They were designed specifically not to burn. That's why they use them as flame retardants. And what we think some of the public health implications will be, or have been, or could be from burning the chemicals. So, and all of our standing declarations, we are working with a number of communities across the United States in a number of different states where hazardous waste is being burned and AFFF has been burned. And so each one of those community groups has to have a standing declaration. So we filed all of those, which was a huge Herculean effort for a number of people working together all across the country on this. And now we are waiting for a hearing date from the federal court in the Northern California district. Now, the Department of Defense has moved the court to change the venue. They didn't say where they would like to change the venue to, meaning they would like to be in a different court. They just said anywhere but here. So we had to defend being in the Northern California district. And the main reason we're there is because Sierra Club's one of the plaintiffs, and that's where our headquarters is.
So for our listeners who aren't law experts, can you explain what a summary judgment is and what a standing declaration is?
Oh, yes. Great. Thank you for clarifying. A motion for summary judgment is a way in which to accelerate the court process so that the court makes findings faster. So we're basically saying that the Department of Defense did not analyze the impacts of its contracts that it gave and its basically its scheme for burning all of its aqueous film forming foam in the country, even though Congress did not exempt DOD from the National Environmental Policy Act. They needed to do an analysis of what this decision meant for the environment, and they needed to take a look at what alternatives might occur. That's the first claim. The second one is that we were able to pass a number of amendments in the National Defense Authorization Act in December of last year, and basically telling DOD that they needed to analyze the impacts of this action that they're doing and burning this material, and they didn't do that either. So our motion for summary judgment basically says, well, DOD has basically defied Congress and defied Congress twice now, actually. And we just need the judge, you the court, the judge, to look at the facts and make a decision quickly. And so that's what a motion for summary judgment is. It's a hurry up type of mechanism to get the court to make decisions faster. A standing declarant is a person that says, I live, you know, underneath the smokestack of this facility, and this facility is burning these materials or could burn these materials, and this is how I might be harmed. And every federal lawsuit has to have some sort of, you can't just bring a federal lawsuit in cases like this unless you can, you know, actually prove or claim a potential harm or that you are actually harmed. And so those are what those standing declarations are. And the expert declarations are basically very extensive opinions and a almost like a white paper from an expert that talks about that expert's expertise in his field and how this action that's been taken by the Department of Defense would potentially harm people on the ground or is already harming people on the ground. And those are very extensive documents, very well researched, and many take a number of months to create and get just perfect and accurate.
Mm-hmm. So for the other communities that have been impacted by this, that this lawsuit is representing, what is the content of their standing declaration? How have they been harmed by the PFAS or by the AFFF burning?
So first of all, they were never informed that this waste was going to be burned in their communities, right? They did not know, and some do not know now because the Department of Defense has refused to fully comply with our Freedom of Information Act request. We've got some information from the Department of Defense, but we have not gotten all of it. And so what we had to do in the absence of that information originally was we had to assume that they could burn this waste at any permitted hazardous waste incinerator in the entire country. And there's about a dozen of those. Since we didn't know which incinerators were being used or where the waste was going at the time, we had to get a standing declarant at every single facility that potentially could accept the waste. Subsequent to that, we found out that one of the few facilities that we didn't think would be accepting waste would be Norlite. And then we found out that Norlite actually accepted large amounts, huge amounts of the material that DOD burned actually went to the Norlite facility. So, you know, the first harm is that this material that is actually not supposed to be burned in these, many of these incinerators did not have permits that allowed them to take this material. So the first harm is that you don't know, you're denied the right to know, essentially. And the second is that the incinerators, many of them are not permitted to take the waste. And the third is that because EPA does not have stack testing methods for the chemicals or their byproducts, no one can say what's coming out of the stack when you burn them because we don't have the measurement methods. And that's also a violation of the Clean Air Act.
Last we spoke, I know you mentioned that Norlite wasn't on the initial list of contractors that the DOD was looking to work with. Has there been any updates on how they were eventually chosen to accept this material?
To this day, it's a mystery to me because DOD in its contracts, and it gave three separate contracts, it specified facilities where the waste could be sent. And Norlite does not appear on any of those three contracts. So, you know, why they sent waste there when it wasn't in their original Defense Logistics Agency contracts, I cannot opine. I cannot answer. You know, it's very alarming that this kind of really super toxic, very dangerous waste could be transported and stored and burned with absolutely no public notification at all. I think the state of New York knew that they were burning that, but nobody else knew, the local elected officials or the public members that would be affected. It's very mysterious to me why they could have done that without public notification.
And why might the Department of Defense want to change the venue?
Well, normally they want to change a venue because it would benefit them somehow, obviously, right? Why else would you want to change the venue? You would change the venue someplace else. It's mysterious to me where they would like to change the venue, but they don't like the venue they have. So I guess they think that any other venue, rather than the venue they have, would be better than the one they have now.
And do you think that is likely to happen?
I don't know. We've made our arguments on why we think it shouldn't. And they've made their arguments on why they think it should. And I guess we'll see what the court says on that.